I want to introduce to you, just in case she needs an introduction, Kathy Adlock, who is going to be leading us in this hour. And for those of you who want to keep track of such things, Rhonda Sadler will be leading us in the second hour. I do want to tell you, those of you who remember the gift that we gave to the work of the boroughs in Africa, keep your eyes out. The word I have is that Olin and Lynn are in church today and will be in the Richmond area for about 3 weeks. And I wasn't sure about the timing. I thought they were going to be here, but it looks like that's the period when they will be here. And if you see them, you'll probably want to speak to them. So, Kathy, I hope it'll be okay to just leave that up there.
Good morning. My husband said that he got a blessed vacation because I had no voice Monday. By the end of today, I may have a voice again. He'll get another vacation. I need to know if everyone has one of these sheets, not the ones that were back at the stable, but anybody have one? And everybody needs a pen or a pencil or a neighborhood pencil. There's a couple boxes in the back, pens and pencils. Everybody set? Please remember to bring those back. I took every single pen out of the office, the church office. There is not one pen left. So I'm going to be in deep trouble if I don't get these pens. Pardon? Yeah, my both pens. I think everybody has one now. I hope. Thank you. I thank you for giving me this opportunity to come and talk to you today. And I taught school for 32 years, and I'm going to do something that's just about the worst thing that a teacher can do. And when I was teaching my curriculum, that is every single minute is going to be lecture. You know, if you have something burning to say, please, it's like, I can't stand it, I got to say this. But because of the amount of material, that is sort of necessary, so please forgive me for that. I'd like to know, by show of hands, how many people have already taken the Discover Your Servant Profile class? Okay. So about a third of you. For you, this is dessert. Okay. Those who haven't taken, this is the appetizer. So see, both things are good. I had a friend in college who always ate dessert first. And she still does to this day. She eats dessert first. So it's an okay thing to have dessert. So if you've been to the class, you will see this as dessert. Otherwise, I hope you see this as an appetizer. And there are two purposes that we've got today. One is to give you a taste of what the full-blown Discover Your Servant Profile class is. And the second is, more important than that, for people to serve out of their giftedness. That's the heart of member mobilization, and that's what we're trying to convey, because we believe that. The three parts of what we're going to talk about today, or what I'm going to talk about, the first is passion, and that you can think of that as your internal motivation, what motivates you to do what you do. Some people are motivated to cut grass. I love to cut grass. My husband gets some flack because he's on the riding mower, and I'm the push mower. I picked up my own lawnmower so I could do the exercise. But I love to cut grass. Yeah, I get lots of offers, but I have other things to do. I just like it. It just makes me content. I just like to do it. So when you think about that in ministry, passion talks to where you're going to serve. Cutting grass, serving, you know, serving those little grass things, making them all even. Then we're going to talk about personal style, and that's how you're wired, how from the moment of conception, God wired your personality. And that determines how you're going to serve. Passion is where you're going to serve. Personal style, how you're going to serve. Two completely different things. And then the third thing we're going to talk about this morning is spiritual gifts. And there's so much scripture to tell us what they are, but it determines what you're going to do once you're serving. You've got all these ministry things you're involved in. It'd be really interesting to see if you've really matched up your personality style with your passion where you're serving. So let's get started on the passion part. I used to think about passion as just being excitedness. And I'm an extrovert. I get excited about things. If you want to talk about grass cutting, I'll talk to you about grass cutting. If you want to talk to me about my grandchildren, and I can speak all 6 of them by myself, yeah, I want to talk to you about that. That is what fuels me to do certain things. And I think it's important to know where we're passionate. But what I forget sometimes is there's some people who are passionate and they're quietly content. That's what drives them. How many people know Trudy Gordon? Okay. Trudy Gordon was a person who was that content person. She's been in heaven how many years then? 8 years? Okay. But at Trudy's funeral, Jim Pardue said, I know many things about I know many things about Trudy that I will not reveal because she's made me promise that I would not tell ever many of the things that I've caught her doing for other people. And today at her funeral, I will not break that promise. Now, she was the person who was quietly content. Now, let's fast forward to now. If you happen to catch Bruce Cobb in the prayer garden, quietly content, going about what he's passionate about, hot weather, cold weather, you know, it doesn't matter. He's just out there doing that. So to think about the people that are exuberant, and you can see where their passion is, and then to think about the people who are quietly content. So think about passion that way. Is knitting a passion with you? Is gardening a passion with you? Is a homeless people a passion with you? Are abused people a passion with you? You know, John Walsh, he goes in there this morning. You know who that is? You know why he does that? Why? His son. Somebody told me today that was in 1984. I had no idea. But even listening to him on the radio, you can measure the passion. And what's driving him? It's anger. It's anger. You can still hear it in his voice. And I contend that the minute he no longer feels that passion, that America Most Wanted will not be an effective tool. And he will quit doing what he's doing. So all kinds of things are beneath what our passion is. So to identify with that is very exciting. And then you can serve whatever it is. You will notice I haven't given very many churchy kind of things as passions, because ministry is in the marketplace. Jesus has, my son told me, so Mom, go back and count in the Bible how many times Jesus did his ministry in the synagogue. I think it's something like 6 or 7. How many times did he do ministry outside the walls of the church? I think it's 132. Need we say more? So take what you're passionate about. Rick Warren is a great example. The pastor of Saddleback Church, who wrote Purpose Driven Life, one of the new converts at his church about 10 or 12 years ago was passionate about water skiing every Saturday. Every Saturday he went water skiing. And when he came a Christian, he said, well, I guess I've got to give that up. I've got to do some ministry on Saturday. I can't water ski. And he said, don't you dare give it up. He says, you have a passion for teaching young people to water ski. All you need to do is teach them to water ski and introduce them to Jesus. And that's what he did. That was his ministry. And he already had the passion. He just had to hook it up with a ministry. So I think being passionate about something is very important. Have you seen Chariots of Fire? Some of you saw it first now. Some of you are young enough to have seen it on DVD. But there's a scene in there. It's only Hollywood could do it. And here's Eric Lytle, the Olympic runner, in this dark room with all this somber music. And his sister's just berating him. Like, what are you doing running the Olympics? What are you doing wasting your life like this? You ought to be on the mission field. And you can almost see him like, tower. And then he says, the only line that I remember from that movie is, but when I run, I feel God's pleasure. I feel God's pleasure. His sister didn't understand. His church didn't understand. Most people didn't understand. But he was where he was supposed to be. Now, years later, you know what happened to Eric Lytle? He became a missionary. But for that moment in time, his passion was running. His passions changed. Our passions change. I bet you're not passionate about the same thing you were 10 or 20 years ago. I feel sorry for Billy Graham. I feel sorry for Mother Teresa. And I feel sorry for James Dobson. Because if their passions ever change, we would not permit them to get any ministry. But see, we're lucky. We're a low profile. We can switch ministries. Driven by our passion. You know I'm meaning that tongue-in-cheek about those three people. I think life circumstances for many people, 9/11. People changed their careers because of 9/11. Those traumatic kind of events, life events, family situations, job situations all make a difference. I bet you could make a list. If I gave you 5 minutes, you could real quick make a list of people that you observe serving out of their passion. Think you could? I bet you could. Just by observation. When I was preparing these materials, I made a list of 26 people, and I then read it to this. We had a group that we practiced this material on, and by the end of the 26th one, they were going like, you know, please spare me, don't read anymore. But I think about the people that are outwardly passionate. Jay Swedenborg works with RAs, and the night they had the RA little ceremony, when he got through, he's quiet, he's real quiet. But when he got through, he said in the sanctuary, "I can't wait for Paul to come and get a new group of boys." And I'm like, where did that come from? But I knew that. Some people are thinking, let me away from these little kids. Not him. I think about Jeanette and Ed Smith. How many people come to Wednesday night dinners? Jeanette and Ed Smith serve the drinks. Watch their faces. Look at their faces. Look at what they do. They don't say much, but look how they serve. It is obvious they're in the right place. You can just have a sign around their neck. Well, I'm not going to read you 26, but they're my couple. Going back to review, passion indicates where you're going to serve. And I think that's a key point. Now, people always say, but there are things to be done. Everybody needs to pick up and do their part. Who's ever said that to you? You might not feel passionate, but everybody needs to do their part. Fine. Every 6 weeks, every 2 months, every 3 months, once a year. But not sustained. And I'm so glad to hear Travis say this from the pulpit about 8 or 9 months ago. He said, if you're not passionate about where you're serving, let go of that and go serve somewhere else. And somebody told me who was visiting, had only been visiting a couple weeks, she said, I couldn't believe a minister would say that. And secondly, she said, what a freeing thing to hear. That you, Teresa McBean says you are, if you say no to certain things, you're free to say yes to the greater thing that God has for you. And so that's the way I think about it. So there are things that need to be done. I work with the preschoolers on Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. Now, I don't particularly enjoy preschoolers unless they're my own grandchildren. I'm not in there because of the preschoolers. That kind of is crazy every time I say it. But I'm not in there for that. Almost anybody can do the job I do, but I've been in there since we started the 8 o'clock service. Not in there for the children. I'm in there for the adults who bring the children, and I can make a connection with them because I want them to be in meaningful ministry. That's the passion that drives me. I would have quit that job a long time ago if it hadn't been for that. But that's what gets me up and gets me here and excited about the parents who are going to leave their children in my care. So you see how that works? You can't get a form to fill that out. You just got to try it on and fill it out. Speaking of that, ladies, you like to try on clothes?
No.
Men, you like to try on clothes? Women here have a good job.
You're all in denial.
Well, this is amazing. I think so. I've never seen this many women together that didn't put their hands up. But just imagine the experience of your what?
As long as there's not a three-way mirror.
Oh, a three-way mirror. But imagine that you are trying on clothes. And I've had this happen to me so many times. I look at them and I say, that is me. That is me. That's my fresh range. It's going to look good on me. I put it on her. I look in that 3 minute mirror and I said, what was I thinking? Take it off, put it back, don't buy it. Don't buy it. Well, in ministry, you know how we used to do things around here? You didn't get a chance to try it on. You had to put it on for 3 years. At the end of 3 years, if you hadn't killed somebody, you got to be off a year. Exactly. And people grab you as literally as you're welcoming them. Well, we're really trying hard to break that. And I would laugh sometimes. Bob can attest to this. On Sunday morning, when everybody give announcements of what kind of needs you needed for the next week, and one person after the other, you know. But I knew on Monday night, and Ron and I would laugh between 7 and 9 at night, we would get a phone call about one of those ministry slots, not opportunity slots, because their last name starts with A. And it's true. I bet the Z people never got called. That's not trying on ministry. That's being conscripted. And so we're trying to do things differently. The first thing is to get people to serve where they're passionate. And I'm sorry, we don't want you to serve if you're not passionate about it on a long-term basis. Short-term, okay. Long-term, no. How do we find out about ministry opportunities? Have you seen the neat little kiosk that's by the Welcome Center with all those color-coded things? If you haven't seen it, go look at it. They're coded by ministry in this little chart that if it's lavender, it's worship, and the little papers match. And there are some people that are picking those up and looking at them. We're not counting to see who picks them up. And we don't have a video camera to see who's picking them up. Or on the website, that identical information is just scroll down on ministry kiosk. The same information's out there. You have ministry opportunities in here all the time. Places to get connected. So there are many. It's not that we have lack of. It's to connect us with the right one. Now you get to look at that sheet. The sheet that has passions at the top left. See what it is? What we used to do, and Janet can attest to this, and other people have taken the class, we used to try to get people to feel like narratively what their passions were. And it just drove people nuts. You just can't do it. So we found a better system, and it's just to, over time, keep adding what people identified as passions and try to put it in a checklist. And there are three categories under here: people, what people are passionate about, the notions of parents, the youth, the mentally ill, emotionally hurting, all kinds of categories there. And then causes like the environment and hunger and landscaping. And then what we call churchy things, those areas there. Then next to that, you will see skills and experience and talents. And they're the things that God has gifted you with, and you have nurtured and honed them and developed them. Or a skill that you acquired, like photography or tax preparation or vocal music. And then certain characteristics that you have, like being a good listener or being attentive to each other. So what I want you to do, if you will, take about 5 minutes, and I want you to check to the left of those areas, in the passions, areas that you have an intense interest in, or you're internally motivated to do, or it makes you tear up, or makes you angry, or makes you, whatever you describe as passion, and check those. Then on the skills, experience, and talents, check those things that where you have the ability already. You pick up a couple? Yes, if you need one. Anybody else need one? Anybody need a pen or pencil? People are done with that. You have a minute or two at the end if you haven't finished. We are going to be doing something with these papers, and we will take them up, and I'll tell you about that in a couple minutes. So don't want you to panic about that, but I'll tell you more about that in just a minute. Now we're going to go into personal style. Remembering that's how we get our energy and how we focus our energy. Whether you're driven by a task, or the task energizes you, or people energize you. I have a husband who's energized by people. He loves that visitor greeter thing he does on Sunday morning. I would be dead in the water. I'd have to take a nap if I did that, because people drain me. Tasks energize me. So it's important to know where you are. He served in the preschoolers with me for 19 years. 18 and a half years, too long. Because he didn't feel like he could get out of doing that. And it's just an honest answer. But since he's done this other, he does not want to miss. He doesn't. It energizes him. See how important that is to be in the right place? And when you get people in the right place, they don't want to miss. They don't want to be in the... they don't want to not be there. There's a person that you would recognize his name if I told you who he was, but he was in a class that I taught when I first started teaching this class about 5 years ago. And he came to class the third session, and he said, he was so distraught, he said, "I'm quitting next week. I'm quitting this ministry I'm in. I can't stand a person on that team any longer." They were committee things. I said, "That's pretty sad." And I knew he was very, very passionate about that ministry. And so it was so neat. That was the week we were filling out the personal style inventory and getting all that information. And when he finished, he was way off the chart on tasks. Tasks energized him. Way off the chart. So I said, "Why don't you just go to your meeting this week and see what happens?" We came back after that meeting, which happened to be our last class, and he could hardly wait to tell us what happened. He says, "You know what?" He said, "I'm not quitting that industry." I said, "That's good news." He said, "I found out that that person who's driving me crazy, that committee leader, I'm driving her just as crazy as she's driving me." Because she is people driven. She had to find out how everybody was doing that week and what their week was like and how your parents were and your grandparents and your children and your cousins and the whole world situation. And he said, and she never started on time. She'd be 10 minutes late. He said, "I want to find out about that stuff, but let's do it at the end." He says, "But now, because I know the way she is and I know the way I am, I'm not going to quit." But the sad thing about that, if he'd known it from the beginning, he wouldn't have had all that frustration. It's a good thing to know in marriage, too. Now, look at that top box on that page that I hope you flipped over. And it says, I feel fulfilled when I'm performing a specific task without being interrupted. Anybody in here a bulletin stuffer on Friday? Well, those people yuck it up so much that sometimes I have to close my door. But I was curious enough to see them. Now, two of the regular people, there's some people come every Friday, two of the regular people are quiet as mice in there. They would check the second box that says, I'm resolving problems and issues by talking with others and understanding their thoughts. I don't think so. Theirs would be the topic. Performing specific tasks without being interrupted. They're just stuffing like crazy. They blocked out all that chatter. But those other people are there for the community. Stuffing bulletins is a sideline. The community. They come early. They wait for each other. They wait for each other. They're stuffing bulletins. But see the community of it and see how it fits their personal style. And in the second, progressing through my day in an orderly manner. How many list makers do we have? What you didn't get done today goes on tomorrow's list. 30 minutes to this, 20 minutes to that. If you forgot something, you add it and cross it off that you've already done, sure. Those kind of people. And then people leaving the day open. Like the oil needs to be changed. I probably should get that done today. See, I can't even relate to people like that. That's on a different personal side, but you need to know that about people. So what I want you to do now is to check the ones. That's a whole different problem. If you will check the ones that suit you the best, you can check two boxes, three boxes, or four, because many of us are a mixture. So check the one that seems most like you. Is that easy to do? Most of you come in the middle. But some of us are way off the page. Yes, we are. I now have two stories to tell you. All this other stuff is true too. But we call this the Richard Schiaffoni model of inviting people to ministry. That's not an official title. But Richard, you know, is our new church administrator. And for more than a year, the member mobilization team has been trying to get team leaders to follow a certain way to invite people to ministry so they didn't feel conscripted. Okay? Richard, bless his heart, maybe because he was new and was desperate, inherited two teams that were non-existent. One was the endowment fund team. Had no members, no leader, no assistant leader. It was non-existent. We had those funds sitting. Nobody was investing them, reinvesting them, scrutinizing them. And, of course, he's getting a little pressure to fill that team. Can you imagine this happening? Yes, yes. So he said, you know, what do I do? And I said, we got a plan for you. This is the plan. You search the database. These sheets. Now, the database before today came from people who had finished the Discovery Server profile class. That's where those people came from. And we only had about 300 some people in the database. So, of course, the same names keep coming up. Got that? So he said, we searched the database, and I said, and you identify the people off of this sheet. You identify the skills that you want. He only had three things. One was finance and planning. One was sales and marketing. And then off the gift list was administration. So we plugged that in, and 40-some people came up. I said, you don't send a letter to 40-some people. We sit down and we look at these and we ask other people who we think would be good to do this. Not who is not busy, but who would be the best people to do this. Out of that, we chose 13 people. He sent 13 letters. And we said, okay, this is what you say in the letter. This is a ministry opportunity. If you think this would suit your passions and you would like to learn more about this, come to a meeting. 2 days later, he got a phone call. He said, I don't need to make for the meeting. I want to join up. This is me. Well, poor thing. He emailed me so fast. He said, this is working. So we like this. He got another call from somebody that said, I can't come to that meeting, but sign me up. Now he had, the church constitution says you must have no more than five people on this team. Now he has two. So the night of the meeting, Connie comes. He's so excited. The next morning, the first email that I read was from Richard. He said, last night, we filled the whole team. He said, five people came. The sixth one had already said he couldn't come. He had already signed up. We got the team leader. We got the assistant team leader. And we got those three new members plus the one. So now they have 60. Now, what happened to the seven people that said they weren't going to serve? They were not contacted further. And that's part of our what we say to people. We don't ask them again. We don't say, I'm sure you must not have gotten the letter. I know this is something you'd really be good at. Nope. Those seven people did not hear back from him once they said no or didn't respond at all. Is that hard to do? Absolutely. It is hard to do. But it works. So you invite people that have the passion or the, and or the skills. You give them a chance to say yes. You give them a chance to say no. And we think we've really got a handle on how to connect people to meaningful ministry. Burdette and Buddy, Burdette Robinson and Buddy Gardner have used it. They've used it for the small group team ministry that was Dead in the Water. The mentoring team that Valerie McBride had started. They've done both exactly the same way, and the same thing has happened. So we're really excited, and that's why we hope you will trust us with these sheets, because it is a matter of trust for us to use it to invite you to ministry and for you to have the opportunity to say yes or no. Okay. Biographical information. Look at the very top of that, right under personal style. If you put today's date and that bold, somebody read what it says in bold. Right by the date. Okay. Ministry conversations are 1 hour conversations that where people have a chance to sit down with a trained layperson and talk about your ministry inside and outside the walls of the church. It's just that, it's a conversation. It lasts no longer than an hour. Most people find it very, very helpful. You notice I said lay people. We used to have staff and lay people. We had both trained. We uninvited the staff people. I'm no longer allowed to do this. And I was the one that was pushing that. Because when you are hired to do a certain job, you are tunnel vision. So when I have a conversation with somebody, I tend to more put them where my area of responsibility was. So we uninvited the staff people. We said, we don't need you for this anymore. And most of them were glad because they had too much to do anyway. But we believe that it should be a layperson. So if you sign up for that, that's who would contact you. Then the other things are straightforward. Look at the fourth line. It says, why did you come to Bon Air? We're trying to decide, or trying to determine why people come here, and then the next line, why do you continue to come, which are two different reasons very often. The next two about Bible study and being spiritually mentored, that's a one-on-one situation where you would walk along with somebody and being in a small group. Most of you know about that. And then the last thing, where it says, please enter this information in the database. We hope you will check that so you have an opportunity to be connected to meaningful ministry. So I'll give you a couple minutes to figure that out. I'll fill that out. I'll figure it out.
How are you doing?
Good.
You don't know about my love. Take it, sir. Pardon? Push the pencil down, go about my.
Don't put your head on the desk. This. She thought that was pretty cool. No, no. The one who was having a conversation. Okay, now we're going to spend the last 5 minutes talking about spiritual gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul tells us that the body has many parts and all the parts are necessary. The feet are necessary, the hands are necessary, the mouth is necessary. We sometimes think that the preaching and the teaching are the most important gifts, but that's not true. We didn't have the gifts of helps and mercy and administration and discernment and faith and giving and all those other things. It wouldn't be a whole body. So somebody has 1 Peter 4:10. Who has that? Okay, using what God has given you. We all have gifts. We just need to find out what they are. And 1 Corinthians 12:7.
But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit.
Every man there meaning every believer. Every believer has a gift. I've heard people say, I don't have a spiritual gift. I said, are you a believer? Yes, then you have one. You might not know what it is, but you have one. 1 Corinthians 12:11.
All these are inspired by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he will.
Isn't that neat? Our gifts have names on them, and they were given to us because it's the gift he needed to make the body of Christ what it should be. Ephesians 4:7.
But to each one of us,
ready
to see
together
as Christ
apportioned it. Can't earn it. It's a grace gift. And now, I know we've already read this, but whoever has 1 Corinthians 12:7, please read that again.
But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit.
Another translation is for the common good. It's not divisive. You're using the gifts the way they're supposed to be used. It is not divisive. So how do you find out what your gifts are? How do you find out? Somebody who knows what their gifts are. How'd you find out?
Alright,
the affirmation of others. Try out some things. Now, I didn't plant Janet over here, but try out some things and see what happens when you're serving. My gosh, that's my gift. I just finished a class 2 weeks ago, and when one of the girls brought her sheet in, we do a discovery tool kind of thing, she was weeping. She said, I now know what my gift is. I'll be free to serve where I thought I might have been gifted, but now I just know. It was a great revelation to her. So spiritual gifts inventories are one way. I think the best way is just to get in and start serving. Jesus did not have spiritual gifts inventory. If he had one, we haven't found those pages yet of the Bible. But so get in and use an affirmation of others. It's a great way. Sometimes people see in us things we don't see. Now, if you would like a spiritual gifts inventory, we have a stack of them back there on the table. If you want to take one, fill it out so you know what it is. What we ask team leaders to do when people get on a ministry team is to give them a spiritual gifts inventory so it helps the team to know what their gifts are so they can work better together. On your sheet here, though, it says complete if you know what your gifts are. Do not check everyone. Only Jesus had all of those. Most people have 3 to 5 gifts. If you don't know, leave it blank. If you do know, check those. Okay. Winding down. We've talked about, or I've talked about, 2 things today that 2 of the 4 parts of Travis's vision for Bonnier Baptist Church. One is mature members, and you become a more mature person. You become a stronger believer when you serve. That's one way. You study and pray and you serve. The other is member mobilization, and that's finding, putting the right people in the right places for the right reasons. Might you get a letter if you fill this out and turn it in and say this is a mission, a ministry opportunity for you? Yes. You may. You may get 10 letters over the next year. But I hope that will not keep you from filling that sheet out and say we may enter it, because it gives you the opportunity. I say no all the time to the people and things because I know what I've already said yes to. So it doesn't bother me that they ask me. It doesn't bother me. I think we need to get over that and we say, my goodness, they're asking me to do something right now. No. Or no, never. because I said yes to something else. So that this sheet is not to conscript you to duty. It is to, this whole presentation is about giving people the opportunity to be connected to meaningful ministry. I thank you for your attention. Thank you, Bill, for letting me come in. And if you have questions afterwards, the stack is back on the corner. John is the disseminator of that, if you want one of those. Oh, thank you. The classes are Sunday mornings, alternating between 9:30 and 11, from September to Sunday night. Then the mind will be the same on Sunday night. 4 weeks on Sunday morning, 3 weeks on Sunday night, Sunday night for a longer time. I will do them at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning if I have enough.
There are pens that she gave you that you have to have back. If you have such a pen, give it back. It looks like John is collecting the pens as well as the others, so do that. We have about a minute before the time we usually finish. Is there anyone who has a question that you want to ask of Kathy before we finish? I think what she said has been pretty clear, but we can.
I'm a sister, and maybe this will help put it in perspective. If you have not done a spiritual gifts class, I've done it 3 times. I'll probably do it again. shortly after we did it, there, Kathy and Kim and Lou asked me if I wanted to be on the team that to do the ministry trip thing, and so I went to that meeting, and I was just agitated when I was there. I thought, I and so everybody else was so excited, and they were all excited was going on in the room, and and so they went around the room, and everybody said, what do you want to do that? And they got the answer, I don't want to do this. And so I just want you to know that they're very sincere when they say it. I mean, and actually, I've gotten one of those letters from having been involved in this, and it wasn't the time, if the timing wasn't right for me to answer those letters. But you know something? I'm really glad to know that those teams got filled, because it means that the right people were on the teams, and I think that's the whole point of this, if you put it out there to the right people, to the right, you know, to the officers and the right people that will respond, you don't have to say yes or no.
There are really two major points that you need to walk away from here realizing. One is, you have a spiritual gift and you ought to know what it is. You may have more than one, you ought to know what they are. And number two, if you're part of this church, you ought to be investing that spiritual gift some way through the life and work of this church. It can be towards the inside of the church, it can be in the reaching of the church out into the community or into the world, but you ought to be using your spiritual gift in some way. The purpose of the class is to help with those two parts, and the purpose of this other, the hour sort of visit on ministry fit, is designed to give you personal attention rather than group attention to do that. So it's really, the purpose is to engage everybody who's part of the church in the work of the church in the way that God is calling them. All the work that needs to be done, the people are here to do it. And if you do the work God's called you to, it's going to energize you and it's not going to exhaust you. And if I say any more, I'm going to be repeating things that Kathy said. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your willingness to trust Kathy and the rest of this team with some personal information. And I hope that those of you who don't know for sure what your spiritual gifts are, take the class. You may think you know. Take the class, it'll confirm it, and then you can quit worrying about, do I have the right idea? You can worry instead about where to go. Thank you again for being here. Let's have a very brief word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for loving us, for saving us, and for calling us into service. And we pray today a prayer of thanks for people like Kathy and like Linda, like the others, who have taken a leadership in helping us as a body to know what the gifts are that you have given to the people here, and to help find the way and place that you are calling those people, us, to be involved in the work, life, ministry, and efforts that are involved in this church, in this place. And we thank you again for your presence in our lives to encourage us each day. Help us be part of what your kingdom work is all about. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.